Hello, welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on Yo Bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam. That's Ben over there, Ben Mandelker. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Ronnie. What's up?
How you doing today, babe?
Oh, you know, it's Monday morning, ready to... Actually, it's not even Monday morning. It's Monday afternoon, but it feels like morning to me. I'm just ready to dive into the week.
Yeah, me too. It's going to be a fun couple of weeks because it's the holy days, everybody. And I need to get a life because I spent hours last night just going through Twitter and getting videos and then studying the video of Real Housewives of Potomac for today's recap because, wow, I was really into it last night. I was using this video like the Zapruder film. I've gone through like frame by frame of everything. So today we're doing Crappens on Demand because I want to show the video. Okay.
Okay. Perfect. I'm excited for that. We have some fun stuff coming up. So we're going to be going on vacation later this week, and we're not going to be doing like fresh recaps of Bravo shows next week. However, one thing that's really, really fun is that we teamed up with the guys from 90 Day Gays, and the four of us recapped Holiday, which is a holiday movie, quote unquote holiday movie on Netflix. And we had so much fun. It wound up being such an intense, long and funny recording session that it's actually going to be a three-parter. So we are doing, that's going to be next week. So if you guys want to do your homework, check out Holiday on Netflix and then tune into this because we had so much fun. It was probably my favorite session of the entire year, recording session.
Yeah, we really did have a good time, and it is a good solid longer, I think, than 3 hours. But yeah, that'll be coming next week. We have an end of the year wrap up TV thing crossover with Kate Casey coming that week as well. But don't worry, we will not just be ignoring the final Real Housewives of Potomac reunion. It airs the week that we're off, so we won't be back that week. But it will be our first recap when we come back for the new year, because I'm loving this reunion. I'm not skipping that. And also, we do have the crappies. COVID's not going to slow us down. We are going to be doing the crappies this year. We're going to be doing a live show on El Internet. We'll give you more details later. But just so you know, going into the end of the year, that is coming. So be ready. Check our Instagram and our Twitter and all that good stuff to find out the date and a ticket link and all that. But it'll be pretty close to the start of January. And we'll have voting up probably around the 1st.
Yeah, I think we're going to aim to have the polls open on the 1st. It's a lot of stuff happening this year. A lot of fun categories. So we're putting together the categories, the nominees right now.
Yes. So check back for that. And that's, I think, all of our announcements. Now, here we are with Real Housewives of Potomac Reunion Part 2.
Did you mention that this is also Crappens on Demand today?
I did.
You were talking about Zapruder films, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
So that's on Patreon.
Yeah, so if you want to get this on demand, go to Patreon and sign up for the Crappens on Demand level.
Am I very pixelated to you right now, Ronnie? I can't tell. Because you're very pixelated to me, so I wasn't sure if I was presenting pixelated to you.
Oh, no. Probably on YouTube we're both screwed. Let's just...
We just look like, an impressionist painting, essentially. An animated impressionist painting, which is kind of all right.
Yeah, we use these HD cams and, like, in our tests, we look amazing. But then the second you go to YouTube, it looks like utter crap. So thanks, YouTube.
Yeah, thanks.
But here we are with Real Housewives of Potomac Reunion Part 2. We open where we left off last week with Monique telling Giselle, your pastor boyfriend is slinging his big D around his congregation, including Atlanta, as we speak, and you know it. And Giselle's still just sitting there like, okay.
Yeah. Now, didn't Jamal go on to like Facebook Live this past week and was saying things like Chris Samuels? He was like, I don't know where you live, but I have your address. Something like that. He was kind of just like having a Facebook Live moment, which I'm like, is that what we really want from our religious leaders? To have a petty back and forth on social media?
Yeah, the religious leaders of the modern age in general, I would say, need some work. Okay, I'm looking at you, Joel Osteen. But yeah,
Mary Jamal, Cosby.
Yeah, Mary Cosby. But Jamal got on and he was pretty messy trying to make this comeback video, but never denied having an affair, I don't think. And he accused Chris, like one of his slams was that Chris has CTE, which is like, what kind of preacher uses that against somebody?
I know. And you also can't, you don't know that until, unfortunately, until you've sort of like, you know, like, unfortunately, after you died is when you've, when that gets diagnosed. So that's like a totally, feels like a very baseless and obnoxious thing for,
yeah, shitty. It's
for
shitty.
Anyone to say, let alone someone who runs a congregation.
Yeah, he said that he has CTE and that he yelled at some lady in a grocery store or something. And then he also said that he tried to attack. He had tried to attack some of the women at the reunion, which I guess we'll see next week. And that's pretty much it.
At least he showed up. But at least he showed up.
Yeah, at least he showed up. Jamal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy's a loser, but we know he's a loser. And even Giselle, like, doesn't even bother standing up for him. She just sits there quietly, you know. And so Andy's like, well, Giselle, there does seem to be a dialogue about his faithfulness. And she's like, well, I've been beyond transparent about my marriage to Jamal. I was this isn't your marriage, though. You see?
Yeah.
Tricky words, Giselle.
Well, but I think, yeah, I mean, I think she's saying, like, listen, I've bashed him in the past. I've bashed him a lot. Like, I'm totally down to bash him again. But right now, like, we're fine. But I agree. I felt like it was a sidestep. And she's like, and then on top of that, she says, well, there have been communication issues, and that's based on me. I don't communicate. I'm like, oh, don't let him gaslight you. He's the one who cheated on you, okay? You are always in the right on the communication issues for the rest of your life because he cheated on you. You're allowed to, like, not communicate with him now and not trust him.
Yes, and Andy's like, but Giselle, this is a lot. Like, Andy is very upset today. First of all, Andy had a terrible hour. Have to put that out there. Andy had a terrible hour on this reunion. I mean, people are handing him his own ass on Twitter right now. Because
what are they upset about? I thought it was like a generic, like, I thought it was like, not, the show wasn't generic. I thought it was just like Andy just being Andy.
Because he chose sides big time, and he was completely full of shit. He was lying half the time. He kept agreeing with the ladies and accusing Monique of all this stuff and saying things didn't happen. Gaslighting, use that word. That's like the best Bravo word of the year, or the most used at least. Gaslighting her and saying, no, that never happened. That never happened. We don't have footage of that. And then the producers would cut to footage of that. Like the exact same thing that he was just saying. I mean, I don't know if the producers of this show just hate his ass or what, but they served him up on a platter and people are going nuts on him on Twitter. And it's kind of funny because I was yelling at my TV. I was like, what are you talking about? They just showed the footage.
Mm-hmm. Well, Andy, Giselle starts saying how, like, the show has, you know, the show has a magnifying glass on her relationship with Jamal now, which, by the way, A, is probably because of your doing, because you spent so many seasons talking about, like, how terrible of a person he was and how he cheated, etc. And then Monique mutters under her breath, like, oh, so now it's the show's fault. Okay, all right, now it's the show's fault. Which is funny because that's the classic, like, Karen Huger blaming the show. I mean, they all blame the show when it's convenient for them, you know?
Yeah. And Andy, what I was going to say before I went off earlier is that Andy is not happy on this episode unless someone's crying, as we find out later. So he just keeps pushing Giselle, like, but aren't you going to, come on, Giselle. It's really bad, Giselle. And she's not going to give him that satisfaction. And Candace is like, well, he should have just come himself so he could say, no, my child. This is not true. And Wendy just laughs and says, no, not my child.
Not my child. So then Candace is like, well, if the thirst book happens to be true, meaning like, Monique's binder, she's like, well, if that happens to be true, what are you going to do, Giselle? And Giselle's like, well, I'll cross that bridge, when I get to it. I'm like, I hate to break it to you, but you're standing over the river right now. Yeah. You're on that bridge.
Yeah, you're on the bridge. Simon and Garfunkel are literally singing to you right now. Okay. So Monique's like, well, maybe she just wants an open relationship. And Wendy says, you know, Giselle, I think you're pretending to be calm, but you're not calm. You're not. And Giselle's like, and I appreciate that, Wendy. Yeah. Because I feel like that is coming from a place of niceness. You know, I am fine. And the older I get, the less it bothers me. And I'm like, well, this is sad, you know? Just like, well, I'm getting older, so, you know, screw as many preachers as you want.
Yeah, that's pretty... Yeah, exactly. So Andy said, well, it would seem as if he would have had a lot to lose by coming on the show. I mean, indeed, he's dating you, if he was dating a lot of other women, you know? So, like, tonight when you speak to him, how's that gonna go, huh? Are you gonna have phone sex, huh? Are you gonna, like, touch your boobs and stuff, huh?
Do you think he'll ask you if you've had a boob implant? No? Have you had a boob implant? Come on! Come on,
I have a penis.
So it's break time now. So everybody starts getting up. And of course, they're still being recorded. So Robin comes over to Giselle and she's like, whoa, she really came through. And Giselle's like, yeah, that thing is really wound up.
Yeah. And then they like go off to like their rooms, like their dressing rooms, whatever. And Giselle's like, well, it's very unfortunate to think that, you know, you have copied things and put it in a binder. Because she's talking about Monique and everything. She's like, I mean, that's tabulated. It's all tabs. It's tabulated. I'm like, yeah, not quite what tabulated means, but
yeah,
more just tabbed.
But she's flustered. I mean, you can tell she's still flustered because, like me, she's still flustered because she goes, you're a binder loser. Binder loser.
Binder loser. Not her strongest. Not her strongest off-the-cuff remark. Binder loser.
So then in Monique's room, Chris is like, you've had this info for years. And Monique's like, oh, yeah, you want to talk about other people's marriage and diss this crap at me? And then we cut back to Giselle still being flustered. And Robin's like, I mean, a binder? We should call it a thirst book.
Good one, Robin. I liked when Monique was ranting in her hotel room, the way they framed her shot, the cameraman was like very sure to make sure T'Challa was in the corner. Like they kept T'Challa in frame. So I love she's just like going off, but everything just like furious about this fight that could like send her to jail. And they just have a little parrot in the corner just like watching her.
Yeah.
It's like, what does T'Challa think?
Yeah, they're like, this rage, we need the bird. Okay, could you just move back a little bit?
Get the bird in the shot. Get the bird.
1 hour later. Of course, Robin is last to set.
And he's pissed.
Yeah. He's pissed, but he's also like a little boy. He's just like flicking on his phone. He's like, we're still waiting on Rob?
Are we seriously still waiting on Robin? So, and now it's time to talk about Ashley. Ashley, you came into this season with a new baby and a new purpose in motherhood. There were many bumps and tears, talking about your anus, which got torn up, that affected your body and ultimately your marriage. Let's take a look. Just like the colonoscopy said, let's take a look inside, shall we?
Sure, Ashley, love that. Ashley, yeah. Your season has been about your torn butthole. Okay, let's talk about that. Yeah. So we get clips of Ashley's torn butthole and her fights with Michael and Michael cheating with the strippers and then her fight with Wendy. And I love this line. Her booty hole is broke and Ashley is broke. You broke.
broke. So then Andy's like, all right, a lot to discuss. I'm not going to say it's a lot to unpack because your booty hole is broken, so it already fell out of the packaging. All right. So listen, Ashley, I root for you and I feel for you. And you're sitting here and you're pregnant and I hate to have to talk to you about this again. You can see by the giant smile on my face. But I feel like year after year you have to defend your marriage and your husband. How's that make you feel? Let's talk about that right now.
She's like, well, I don't really see it that way. Every year after year, as you said, I'm asked questions about my husband. And so I answer those questions about my husband.
And he's like, and where is Michael? She goes,
he's in South Carolina because someone is getting married that he knows there.
That doesn't sound suspicious at all, Ashley.
Yeah. Sounds totally
okay.
That sounded
totally natural.
Is someone getting married that he knows there of that person?
Yeah.
So, Mike, she's pregnant, and so Michael is excited for baby number two. And Ashley says, yeah, you know, almost losing his family for his mistake really opened his eyes. Like, how many times does he have to have his eyes opened? I feel like every season it's like really losing me almost made him like really opened his eyes about like what not to do. Like every single season he gets his eyes opened.
Yeah, his eyes are always open. They're just really like clouded over with like cataract beginnings and like tears, you know, like a really old dog that's about to be put down. Okay?
It's hard to see when you got jizz in your eyes, okay? Metaphorically speaking, everyone.
So she's like, he says, well, you're such a hero for opening up about postpartum depression. And she's like, yeah, and you know, Robin and Giselle really prepared me. It would take 6 months, and that was true. And they've all had postpartum, so we go through that. And then, of course, Andy has to ask about her butthole and if it healed.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, postpartum was really hard. I don't know what about your butthole? Well, tell us about that tear in your anus.
Can we talk about
your butthole. We've got a lot of buttholes to unpack here, Ashley, all right? Mm-hmm.
So then we move on to Ashley versus Wendy. He's
Wednesday Adams.
Wednesday. So he's like, Wendy, do you regret screaming at Ashley? And Wendy's like, well, you know, that's not really Ashley's problem. It's just that it was a girl's trip, so I was okay with that being my baby. But any mom will tell you, when you see a baby, it triggers you.
Yeah, she says that then, like, when she saw the baby, then she wanted to have her baby. And then Andy's like, and then I have to imagine being a father of a child that you must have then gone into a shame spiral over the fact that you had chosen to go on a trip to a really shitty lake house instead of be with your child, right?
Yes, now, on this, I didn't understand my note, but I said Wendy interview. Okay, so Wendy on Watch What Happens, Andy was saying, so, you know, he was asking about the colorism thing from last week and saying, why is it okay? A viewer wants to know, of course, because I would never ask you this myself, but why is it okay for Candace to scream ghetto and hood rat at... God, what is wrong with me at Monique? Why are you being a hypocrite, basically? And she's like, well, no, because I never called her hood rat and I never called her ghetto. Thank you, Andy. I was like, oh my God, this isn't CNN. Answer the question.
It's not about you calling. It's about like, why?
Yes. Yeah. She just totally changed the question. Like she's on CNN still. And then Andy was like, okay, I guess that sounded good. I wasn't really listening anyway. Have you ever torn your butthole?
More importantly, have you ever torn your butthole?
He asked Ashley, he's like, Ashley, you didn't seem surprised or mad about the stripper. He kept making these faces. And Ashley's like, well, you know, I've had my own discretions in the past. I might have not always been the best wife, Andy. You know, when I was separated, I had fun and he forgave me. And then we moved.
You were separated. Okay?
I have a feeling it was that chef from Oz. So please tell me more because that guy was hot.
Yeah. Also, like, she's like, I haven't always been the best wife to my husband. You're married to Michael Darby. You're automatically the best wife to your husband. win that category. Okay. Being willing to take on that task means that you are actually the best wife to him.
Yeah. So they're not in an open relationship. It's just if they both see someone that they think is hot. Oh, and by the way, he's not gay. Okay, everybody? Yeah. He's not gay at all, guys.
Not gay. So Andy's like, Katie Roth said that she hooked up with another housewife. Was it you? And she's like, oh, hell no. Listen, she mentioned having a garage, and I live in a condo, and like, so that never could have transpired. So there you have it, the old garage defense.
The old garage defense. And this could be playing around with words, too, because condos do have parking garages. Why couldn't you fuck in a parking garage, you know?
Also, Katie, who knows? When Katie says garage, she might just mean, like, bathroom. I don't know. Like, I don't know what... I don't always understand what necessarily Katie means when she says things.
Yeah, Katie lives on a farm with no air conditioning. She's delirious. Like, you can't. So Andy's like, well, Michael said they only kiss. What do you think of that? And she's like, well, he said that she didn't want anything to do with him sexually. So they just slept, and then the following day, she insinuated that he pay her. Like, well, that doesn't make much sense. Like, she wanted payment for just lying there? I mean, that sounds like a great job. Okay, great work if you can get it.
I wasn't totally following that. So basically, he slept over, but then nothing happened. Did he just want, like, a cuddle? Because if he just wanted a cuddle, he could get that from Ashley. Like, that didn't make any real sense at all.
Yeah, and it's all bullshit. I mean, I hate to be like Candace, but we all know this is bullshit. So I mean, why Mike are we still caught asking so many questions?
Yeah.
They question her on that for a little while. And he's like, but Ashley, lady with the torn butthole, possibly still. I don't know. I'd love to ask you about your torn butthole again. Let's put a pin in your torn butthole. You know, you're 6 months pregnant. Are you worried that'll happen again? She's like, no. I mean, I'd be lying to say I'm not a little concerned, but he's home every night and he's really trying. He's in South Carolina without you right now.
Wendy literally goes, he's not home with you tonight. So Karen's like,
well, you know, you have a son to consider, and, you know, I support her decision to keep her family together. The family that rips an asshole together stays together.
And Andy's like, but, you know, when we're talking about Jamal and Giselle, I mean, Giselle has a family. She has three children, so isn't that the same? And she goes, no, I just want the truth about her marriage. Andy, I'm coming from a good place with that. I'm just not reaching her because we're not there right now, Andy.
Yes, because we're genuine, okay? And I can accept you, Giselle, just like you are. In fact, I like this better. I like this. We're genuine, which is why she can't understand us, because she's not genuine.
And then they make a half-hearted, you know, attempt at fighting. Giselle's like, yeah. We do not have a relationship. She's like, oh, so angry, Giselle. So angry. Why are you so angry, Giselle? And Andy's like, you root for them, right? She's like, yes, I root for their family. I just want it to be a real family.
And then Andy goes, so does it feel good to have Karen in your corner? And Giselle goes, she's full of shit.
Oh, you treat me well. Security.
So, Ashley, a clip has surfaced from Charisse's birthday party of your asshole rip. I'm sorry, I misread the card. I really need to hear more about the rip, Dad. But it's Michael pinching a producer's butt. This certainly is relevant. She's like, oh, yes, Andy, relevant. Very relevant, Andy. I agree. It's very relevant, okay? But I'm not upset because I saw the context, and it wasn't that serious. This producer is very funny. He's very flirtatious with Michael. I'm not in a sexual manner, but they had a very good relationship. And if you ask this person, he'll tell you it was a joke, Andy. My husband's not gay. My asshole's fine. Thank you, Andy.
And you're like, well, we did ask him. It turns out his asshole is intact, but he did say it was not a consensual thing, and he was mortified. And she's like, oh, that's funny, because he definitely calls my husband Zaddy, but okay. I'm like, those two things have nothing to do with anything. And thank you. Actually, Candace is the one who's like, he also has a job that he wants to keep, so ... You know?
Yeah.
It's like, Ashley's not being... a great champion of sexual harassment in the workplace.
No, and she hasn't and lack been. There, or she lack hasn't thereof. Been. She hasn't been, and she knows that this shit's been true this whole time. She's ridiculous. And Robin's right. Like, well, I brought it up last year at the reunion. That's what I was talking about. And then there's clips of the last reunion on a much better set. I mean, a set that made an effort. Let's admit it.
This one made an effort to capture the spirit of Madeira.
This looks like a party room at a Mandola's, okay? Sorry.
I don't even know what Mandola's is.
It's like a chain Italian place.
Wow. Well, either way, we see in this flashback.
A lot of plastic grapes.
Oh, it's like Cynthia Bailey's house. So we see Michael saying, you know, it's like, so, Michael, did you ever grab any producer's butts at Charisse's birthday party? He's like, never. I never touch any butts. I've never touched a butt before in my life. It's never happened. It's never, ever, 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 ever happened. It's like, So now it's like, yes, we've yeah, actually now seen it.
It's just them lying. Every year, it's just Michael and Ashley lying over and over. I've never even touched a butt. I don't even know what a butt is, Andy. Until Ashley ripped a butthole, I'd been trying to poop out of my elbow. It's been a very, very difficult time for me, Andy. But the good news is, I'm pooping okay now.
Did I ever try to grab an asshole? Of course not. Did I ever try to have some fun with a handsome man with a... just happened to have a butt that was in the vicinity of my hand? Perhaps. You know, people don't know how to take a joke.
Have I grabbed an asshole? No, I haven't, Andy. Now, have I reached for a six-pack of beer, slipped my fingers down into it, and realized it was an asshole and not a six-pack of beer? Maybe, Andy. Of a man that called me Zaddy. All right?
Have I ever grabbed an asshole? Of course not. Have I decided in the middle of a party to practice my bowling technique and then it just happened to run right into a butt? Perhaps. But guess what? If there weren't a butt there, I would have gotten a strike.
Have I ever tried to grab an asshole? No. Have I ever tried to help a friend who called me Zaddy by cleaning the lint out of his belly button with three fingers? Yes. Was it his belly button? No. Was it his asshole? I don't know. Did I get lint on my fingers? I did.
Have I ever grabbed an asshole? I don't believe I have. But have I ever been so inspired by a wonderful party that I decided to reenact the circle of life from The Lion King by lifting up an invisible lion? And is it my fault if there happens to be a buttocks right in the way? Not my fault. I was just trying to celebrate the circle of life.
Oh, circle of asshole, Andy.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So Andy asks Ashley about her prenup, and of course, Ashley, this was all just a storyline. Ashley never did anything about it. She still doesn't have a prenup. She doesn't have a postnup. She has nothing to protect her children from this fucking idiot, which is why she's sitting here sticking up for him again. Yes. Okay, do this for the audience. Get yourself taken care of and your kids taken care of so you can turn against your husband. I don't know what show you think you're on, but this is Real Housewives, ma'am.
Yeah. Yeah, and then she's acting like she's like being all silly about it because they never got the posting up, and then she's like, oh, I wonder now if maybe I should, now that I have two children, maybe I should. It's like, how much archival footage do you need to see to know that you should be definitely doing this? Like, that's like the first stop after this reunion is to the lawyer's office.
Yeah, I'll bet he just wouldn't do it. I'll bet he was like, no, take your chances in court. Alright. Yeah. So probably. Andy's like, no matter, and you know what? It's not too stupid of him either, because once Ashley has that, she's out of there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So Andy's like, so no matter what's going on in the world, the Huger Institution of Marriage will go on. But it turns out Black Bill Gates wasn't happy in the shadow of the Grand Dame.
And then we get the Karen and Ray montage of them all season long.
And then just a little box of Giselle losing her mind over it and like rolling her eyes and going crazy over it the whole time.
It's a little pizza box.
Yeah.
So then Karen is like, well, it feels great to be back in Potomac. Ray is very happy. He's playing tennis with his friends every day. Have you ever seen a deer play tennis? Because that's what he's doing. He's playing tennis with deer.
I know. She was quick to add, his friends. He's playing with his friends, Andy. And Andy's like, well, is her house better? And Robin's like, yeah, it's really cozy, Andy. It's much better than... And I know you're not calling her house small.
I know. I was about to say, Robin, that's a bold move, saying cozy right now. I know you're not doing that.
But she says it's better than the last one. But Robin is really hating Karen, too, right now.
Yeah.
As usual, so, I guess. And Karen's like, oh, it's like coming home, Andy. And Andy's like, well, you know, it's great seeing you back. Let's ask Ashley and Giselle what they thought of you back home. So they talk about her going to do her high school.
It's like seeing the real Karen thing. And everything. Mm-hmm. And then there was like a question of like, why didn't Karen let Giselle and Ashley ride in the car? Like, why'd you make them walk like peasants? She's like, oh, I didn't plan the parade. I apologize for that. I'm merely a vessel for festivities in Surrey. Who am I? Just the daughter of a farmer who sells soybeans around the world. I can't control a parade. Of course I wanted them in the car with me. Not at all.
Look at Robin. She's meant to be in the audience, Andy. I mean, even now, she just looks like she's been pelted in the hand with sucked-on candy. Hmm?
Do you know the joy of throwing a Tootsie Roll at Robin's head?
Remember when they were throwing hard candy at people?
Yes.
So then he turns it to, she was drunk. He's like, remember drunk Karen? That was so great. It's one of the best things I've ever seen in my life. And Robin's like, oh, well, because she's like, oh, I love Fireball, Andy. I love a little Fireball.
I love a Fireball. You know what I love doing the most? I love going to an oil pipeline and lighting it on fire. I love a Fireball.
And Robin's like, well, then what can I ask you why you were dismissive of me when I asked if you drank the Fireball? Because you were being an asshole about it, Robin. That's why. It's like the next morning, they just had a good night, and the first thing you do is, oh, Karen, I heard you drink all the Fireball. Ooh. It's not like you're friends with Karen, okay? Because you're a jerk, Robin. That's why. There's your answer.
But I did think it was really funny when Karen denied it and was like, what are you talking about? And she goes, okay, Karen. Yeah. Like, whatever, Karen.
I think Karen is so full of shit. She's like, I wasn't dismissive of you. I was hungover. I had a ball, and actually, it cleared my marriage up, Andy. And it cleared it up. Everything's fixed.
Yeah, that's right. Everything is fixed now. So Andy is like, well, I want to clear the air here a little bit. Do you have disdain for Ray's dick? Do we call it a dick? Is it really a dick? Is it more just like a...
wrinkled up old cheetah. What is it? And she's like, I do not have any disdain for it, and that's disgusting to me that you would ask that. I think it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous, and I'm not throwing up in my mouth right now. I'm merely thinking about how much Fireball I love.
That is disgusting to me, Andy, that you would. It's almost as disgusting as Ray's dick. I mean, I'm sorry. Fireball! Candace is cracking Fireball up brain. Through all of this. And Andy asks, how does Ray feel about you spilling info about paying his taxes and helping him out of that? She's like, I've got to be real, Andy. I was spoiled for 17 years. I was a spoiled little girl. Ray doesn't know me anything, Andy.
That night, these girls brought me to a true revelation that, hey, I gotta give that up. I mean, who am I? Just a vain old reality star? I mean, he doesn't owe me anything back because he's given me his love and his trust in our children. But if he wants to write me a check, that'd be okay, too.
Unfortunately, I couldn't write him a check for charisma, Andy. That stays with me.
Listen, it's a marriage. It's a partnership. We share these things. He clatters pans in the kitchen, and I bankroll his tax deficits. That's all. We're a team, and we soldier up for each other.
So Andy's like, it is interesting. You know, here we are 5 years into the show. How has the dynamic affected your marriage now that you guys have your own money?
And I love that Bravo pretends that they're actually paying these people more than $20.
Bravo is notoriously cheap with their talent. And Monique, this was Monique's finest moment. She goes, oh, she's like, that little check isn't doing anything compared to what Chris is bringing in. Like, that little check.
Yeah, and Andy's like, well, he was making that kind of money, but he's not making that kind of money.
Like, excuse you.
Andy, he's a football player. He's like a very famous football player. He's pulling in that check.
What the fuck kind of thing is that to say? And she's like, well, he still has his investment portfolio, but thank you. Yeah, he's doing great. Thanks.
Yeah. And then Robin's like, well, why don't I contribute equally to the household? Because, like, I know how it is men with egos and things like that. And I'm like, ugh. It's ridiculous. Just pay the bills, Robin.
I'm always worried about the electricity bill because I keep the lights dim enough to not hurt his ego, Andy. I just dim my lights. Dim my lights for my man,
yeah.
Andy.
Yeah, exactly. Jeez. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So Andy's like, well, it was painful to hear that Ray wasn't in love, and then to say it on camera. And she's like, that was very powerful, Andy. It was beaches, basically, Andy, what you saw.
It was a powerful moment. I want to thank the Academy for this award for most powerful moment from a power couple. Thank you very much.
And Giselle's like, well, I felt like hearing that. It was not the first time you had heard that, and you were embarrassed, and that's why you were crying. And I don't want to see the breakup of these two, but I was happy he put it out there. It's like, you're a monster. Just be quiet, because you cannot answer one question about your own relationship from your cheating, fake boyfriend who's not even here, Giselle.
That's true. So Karen had, by the way, Karen claimed that Ray had said that because
he wanted me to hear it. So he used the loudest platform that he could. I'm like, Ray was not like sitting there being like, I can't wait to use this big Bravo platform to get through to my wife. He's just like, fine. You pushed me. I'll say it now. There, yes. You pushed me.
So Andy's like, well, you're famous. I mean, Rihanna comments on your Instagram. She's like, oh, Andy, the important thing is to stay humble, Andy, because I could wake up tomorrow and that marriage could be over, and then I'll be staying with Rihanna, my best friend, winning Grammy Awards, and I think I'll be fine, Andy. Stay humble.
Yes, I mean, listen, today it's wonderful. Tomorrow I'm just a humble woman who comes from a soybean dynasty and has Rihanna in her DMs. I mean, it could all just go away.
So, Wendy, you had a comment about Karen's sexual relationship, and she's like, I had two comments, Andy. Be clear. I don't care about her coochie box, okay? Me, I just don't want to talk about it, because me, as a married woman, it's not something we talk about. Okay, Wendy, here you go, not answering a question again. How about we comment on your ageist comments about Karen and Ray not being able to have sex anymore. Like, why doesn't she ever have to answer a question?
I feel like she just made some like throwaway jokes, and it's just been like harped on a lot, and it's like it's been turned into a whole thing where she just made like two just like stupid shady jokes, and it's like, well, you certainly had a lot to say about their sex lives, as if like the rest of us weren't we just like 5 minutes ago like talking about Ray's dick and being like, ooh, you know, like, I mean, When Karen talks about like going down on Ray, is anyone there being like, that's hot. Tell us more. No one is. No one is. Okay. And Wendy made a shady joke like we all have. And now they're roasting her for it. I just am like.
They're not roasting yes, her, Ronnie, though. That's my problem. They roast everybody else has to answer the question. Well, I mean, well, everybody you may be else right. She is avoiding it. Questions. And she, every time she's asked a question, she just answers something else, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they all kind of do. I mean, like, that's true. Like literally, like Ashley just did it. Giselle just did it. Karen does it for a living.
They all do it.
They all do it, which doesn't exonerate Wendy, but it's not like.
Yeah, but we point it out like when they do it too. This forum of truth. Like...
this forum of like honesty and truth that like Wendy is the outlier. You know,
that's true. Andy's like, well, Karen, you know, come on now. We've seen a new side to you, right? I mean, is that conscious? Were you trying to change your persona? It's like, Andy, I'm every year, Andy, and remember to stay humble, but every year you watch a celebrity on television like me, Andy, a celebrity knowing Rihanna. You peel back layers, Andy, layers, you know. Here was Rihanna. Here was being mentioned in a Beyonce song. Layer. Here's being mentioned.
I'm growing in front of you. You peel back. You see this beautiful flower and you say, surely, surely these petals are so gorgeous that the petals were ever to be plucked off. You'd be nothing, have nothing left but a stem and an empty husk. But you peel away those petals and guess what? More beautiful petals inside, more beautiful than the original ones. I'm just getting peeled away and being more beautiful and more Rihanna knowing than ever before.
I'm like an onion with a good chemical peel, Andy. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, look, Karen, I have to call bullshit because every year I sit here and I ask, where do you live? Does Ray going to Florida? What about the IRS? And it's you just give me a river of words. All you do is give me a river of words. So it was different this year. And she's like, well, Andy, losing both parents changed me, Andy, and I'm not done evolving. Buckle up. It's like, what is this, Jurassic Park?
Nature finds a way.
Ooh. So so she is not done evolving and etc. And Karen is just, they're like, well, basically what it comes down to is that Karen was self-conscious, or she claimed she was self-conscious that her parents were watching her on TV. Because they're all like, yeah, Karen's like a lot more fun off camera than on camera. She's just basically awful, you know? And Giselle's saying that. She's like, she's just like weird on camera. And we're like, well, who is this? And she's like, well, don't be upset because I'm growing and you're not, okay? Don't be upset that I'm friends with Rihanna and you're friends with... no one.
Nobody. Andy, I would like you to look at the unpeeled layer here. Her name is Giselle. That onion is still covered in the paper it was born in, Andy. Hmm?
Congratulations. You're friends with the woman who played the older daughter on Alf. Congratulations.
We're back. Well, Monique, this year we found out what to get the one person who has everything. A bird.
Okay, now this is Monique's segment. So
yeah, but yeah.
We just see in the small corner Monique laughing and clapping for herself, loving her segment. And mm-hmm. then Giselle and Candace just rolling their eyes, and Candace is like looking away.
Yeah. So So we see this whole montage, and then it comes out, and Candace goes, ugh, what a victim. So she's already, like, mad. And then Andy says, all right, is everyone ready? Because I got something to announce now. Lots to unpack here, am I right? Lots to unpack. Bueller, you agree, right? You agree, lots to unpack, okay?
He sure does.
Bueller just, like, stretched. Bueller's like, I'm ready. Finally, now we're getting to the Monique part.
Yeah, he's like, is this Monique yet? Oh, there he goes again. Look at that little face. Oh, my God.
So Candace is like, you're like, oh, what a victim. And then Monique is like, oh, you hear Candace taking shots at me, but she's supposed to be traumatized?
Yeah. And Candace does that the whole reunion. She just keeps making these snide little comments under her breath at Monique. So because she's traumatized and terrified of Monique, everybody. Okay, so she's doing that. And then we get the T'Challa ran away video of Monique on Instagram crying and being like, my bird is gone. Help me find my bird. And then Candace goes, that bird ain't fly away.
Hey, Vulture reviewed a bird expert. Already a lot of inherent irony in there. Vulture, am I right, anyone? No? No, okay. Vulture interviewed a bird expert who said it was highly unlikely for a bird to leave and then come back. And Candace is like, because it didn't happen. Which I love that there's like a sub conspiracy happening.
Too. I didn't even know that was a thing.
I love that. It's like it's a really useless, like in a time when there's like a lot of harmful conspiracy theories that Monique may or may not be participating in. I really love that there's like a really harmless conspiracy theory about whether or not T'Challa ever was missing or was replaced, like, or did T'Challa leave and come back? Was that really the same T'Challa?
Was she hiding it in the closet?
T'Challa like dead? And like, is this like the demon T'Challa that came back?
Oh yeah, or was like T'Challa, maybe someone was ordering furniture from Wayfair, but they were really ordering a bird the whole time. It was like
T'Challa bird was trafficking. Yeah, bar stool. I ordered a bar stool that went missing from Wayfair, and I think we know why now, because T'Challa was inside it and it went to Monique's house. If Monique has new bar stools and they have brass, they're brass framed, we know what really went on, okay?
So, let's see here. So Andy's like, well, Robin, because all the girls on the other side of the couch are making looks at each other, you know. And Andy's like, well, Robin, you look dubious. It's like, why wouldn't you ask Candace? She just projected across the whole room that it didn't happen. Why are you asking fucking Robin? Robin doesn't do anything. Ask Candace. Yeah.
So then Andy's like, hey, T'Challa didn't really click with any of the ladies. Karen's afraid of T'Challa. When did T'Challa had a moment, etc. And Karen's like, no, I wouldn't say that I didn't like T'Challa. I call him T'Chapa. Anyone? There's a very funny joke. I changed two of the letters to two different letters. Anyone? T'Chapa.
I never would have made that joke if my parents were here, Andy. You see the difference?
I'm going to peel off a layer and reveal to you that Rihanna and I love calling T'Challa T'Chapa. That's just who we are.
But I'll tell you this, Andy. When T'Chapa went missing, I went into my backyard, and I called for him, Andy. It's like, wow.
This is a touching story, Karen.
That was beautiful. I'm sure T'Challa really appreciated hearing you go, T'Chapa! T'Chapa! Bird security! Can someone find T'Chapa?
It was probably sitting on one of those rings outside of her backyard on the golf course where she made the little kids twirl around for her party.
Well, I was very concerned about T'Chapa, so I took some bird feed and I put it on an old laser disc and put it outside like a little platter and waited for him to come. Never came.
Were you offended, Monique, when all the husbands were doing imitations of their wives and Chris did an imitation of you giving him a blowjob? And Candace is like, it was disrespectful and disgusting. And meanwhile, her eyelashes, you know, like her two little Muppet hands come.
Meanwhile, we know everything about her husband's dick. Okay, we know everything about her husband's brown dick. She's like, it was disrespectful and disgusting. Who would do that? Share those private, intimate moments.
And Monique's like, well, your husband basically told the world you were bipolar with a light switch, so girl, bye. And Candace says, well, your husband told the world you were his concubine, so girl, bye. And Wendy exhales, you know, and
Andy's it was an like, escalation of very bad comebacks.
Yeah. I was like, Giselle, are you going to miss out on this one? Because you've really been killing it. Don't you want to call someone a thirst book? Giselle, that's the chance.
Well, I have to tell you, I was disgusted too. I was never more mortified than when Ray got up there and impersonated Rihanna calling me up on the phone. I was like, Ray, Raymond, these are private matters. When Rihanna calls me to ask for advice, we do not broadcast that to the world. I was horrified and I apologize to all the ladies for that moment.
So Andy's like, so Monique, you revealed that your belief was that a trainer rumor was a plot by Giselle, the full rumor being that you not only had an affair with your trainer, but got impregnated by your trainer. And she's like, yes, this is a 2-year ordeal with an ex-friend of mine, Gigi, who is part of the show season 2. And then we see a clip of Gigi while Monique is folding Chris's underwear. And she's like, those are some big drawers.
Yeah, I remember
They're this big.
I think Gigi's are bad news for Bravo. Well, actually, no. Gigi Hadid was fine. She was fine, but Gigi, Shahs of Sunset Gigi, is Golnessa.
That's a stain.
Imagine if it was Golnessa who started this. That would be great.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. She's just bored, so she's fucking with other shows.
So the issue here is that Gigi was trying all the women, and then she got Charisse's number.
And then she told Sasha the rumor, and then Sasha sent screenshots to everyone. And then Monique says, I was alerted by Karen that there was a dinner after Andy's baby shower, and there was a plot to bring this story on the show. And then and Karen's like, yes, Giselle wanted this to come out. And I said, Rihanna and I both agree that this is harmful. And we say, do not do this. My Leia has been peeled.
Peeled, Leia peeled. And Giselle's making these faces like, what? Come on. What? Ah, not true. What? And everybody's acting like this is the biggest lie ever. This is the beginning of the Monique gaslighting. So I would like to play a clip of Candace from... YouTube, or I think this was from her Instagram Live. I found it on YouTube.
Someone brought their own binder to this episode.
Thanks to somebody from Twitter. So thank you, Twitter, for all you do for us. So Shaw Madia, you're a beautiful woman. So here is Candace. Tell me if you can hear it.
A couple of people there with me. Several people there with me.
Can you hear it?
Yeah. She's saying that people are with her. Yeah. Oh, it stopped, though.
Oh, of course it's thinking about it now.
Well, while you cue that up, I will say this about this whole segment. So, do I believe that the women would have conspired to bring this out? Yes. I do think, though, they made a pretty compelling point, which is that, like, it never really became the storyline.
Well,
and
hold
I feel
on,
like.
Hold on. Let me just play it.
Okay. A couple of people there with me. Several people there with me. And there was a conversation about someone plotting to spread a rumor that Chase was not Chris's baby. That conversation happened. I was there for it. I never contributed to the plotation of the conversation.
The plotation.
As a matter of fact, I said that would never fly. And it should be dropped.
Okay, so basically she's saying that they went to an after party for Andy's baby shower in New York. All the cast went out for dinner together.
Plotation.
And there was plotation. And the people who were there were, of course, Giselle and Robin, you know. And so they brought up this plot. Now, the reason this is good is for everything that's about to follow. Them just denying and acting like this is the craziest shit they've ever heard and this never, ever happened.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I kind of felt like they gossiped about it, but I did feel like if they wanted it to become like a central storyline, they would have done it. Like
they did.
Well, actually kind of, I mean, Monique actually, oddly enough, I still feel like I'm not Team Candace. I mean, I don't know. This is one of those things. This is like Vanderpump Rules where I reserve the right to be on everyone and no one's side all at once.
Yeah, so you please, have to be. Yeah.
Like it's just all show. Over the place. But Monique made such a fuss about Charisse, like such a fuss. It kind of forced it to the fore. It's not even a blaming the victim thing here because it's like she made a fuss. She should have just been like, I'm not going to give her this moment. I'm not going to allow her to have this moment on TV. But she made a fuss with Candace. She made a fuss about this and that. So like naturally they had to say, what's so wrong with Charisse? It had to be brought to the fore. So did they conspire? Did they plot? Were there plotations? Most certainly there probably were. But Monique also contributed to these things coming to the fore.
No. I mean, I have to disagree totally. No. I mean, this is a flat-out disagreement. You know, we don't have to agree on everything, but...
No, it's fine.
I think that they plotted
this. This is a very important
issue,
Ronnie.
Yeah, I know. It is. I was up all night, I'm telling you. So I think that they plotted and that Monique heard that they were going to try and bring this on the show through Charisse. So she sees Charisse. She keeps calm. She does not go for it to bring it on camera. She doesn't start a fight with Charisse. She doesn't do anything. She just ignores Charisse, right? Mm-hmm. At that party. So then Giselle sees that it didn't come out, even though they got Charisse to that party. So she goes to Monique and she's like, hey, why aren't you mad at Charisse? I mean, Charisse was there. Why weren't you mad? Candace invited Charisse. And you know why Candace would invite Charisse. So then she gets Monique pissed. And that's why Monique got so pissed that Candace was the one who brought Charisse, because Candace had told Monique about all this already. So Monique knew this was going on. And Candace had said, oh, no, I told him that plot would never work. And I wouldn't you know, don't do that. So then when she finds out that she's the one who's bringing Charisse on camera, she feels like Candace is betraying her and pretending to be her friend while she's really bringing the stuff up on camera. Make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like there's room for both of the, I think there's room for both of these things to coexist pretty cleanly. Like, I think that so Monique catching wind that there's this conspiracy to bring this story to the fore, and that's why she's pissed at Charisse pissed at Candace. Like, that's totally legitimate, but I just feel like Monique also contributed to this. Like, I feel like I would not have known of all this stuff had Monique not been just like so furious at Candace. And I know what you're saying. She's like, well, she's furious at Candace because they're trying to do this thing. So like,
yeah, why? Because behind the scenes, she knows what's going on. And also Giselle's the one who brought it up on camera, not Monique.
Because she did.
Monique in the beginning, and they show a clip of it in the reunion. They said, well, what is the rumor? What is the rumor from Charisse? And she said, I don't want to talk about that. So she didn't talk about it until she knew that Giselle was bringing it up on camera.
Right. But what I'm saying is that Monique played it incorrectly, which is that she was like, I don't want to talk about this. To us, it was like she was just going after Charisse. Nothing made sense, which then was like, well, now we need to know. Now the producers have to have Giselle on there and be like, why would she not like Charisse? Like, she didn't control that narrative.
Right.
And so that's why I think that, like, that Monique messed up here. Because,
yeah, I think so, too. And I think she messed up the whole season, really, with Candace. Because Candace came off as being pretty mature through the first half of the season, because every time Monique was trying to start a fight with her, she would stay calm and say, you know what? I'm not going to fight right now. So yeah, I think Monique dropped the ball on how she handled it too. But Karen is, you know, Karen's saying, well, you know, there was this plot to say that Chase wasn't their baby or wasn't Chris's baby. And Giselle wanted this to come out. And Giselle's over there rolling her eyes and just, you know, making the biggest faces she can. And she's like, well, Giselle, I know you don't like it, sweetie. And Giselle's like, of course it's my fault. Isn't it always my fault? It was literally your fault.
And she did articulate it.
You got Charisse there. And you said it on camera. You were the one to say it on camera. So she says, well, I didn't say anything about the paternity of the child. So I didn't say that. I said things about cheating, but not the paternity of the child.
There is some truth to that. That like this could have been like the center of the season, and it really wasn't. It was not the emphasis. That may have also just been the producer saying, we're not going to go there with this. This is too dark. You know.
Well, and also Monique. Right when it started getting heated up, Monique was off the season. Because after the fight.
Yeah, but they still could have even brought it up after that. You know, they could have been
without
like,
her there.
You know, she's in denial about this or that, and she's a mess and she needs help, yada, yada, yada. So it could have been a center thing. So I do think that there is some merit in saying, like, we've been sitting on this, we could have used this all this time, and like, we didn't really, like, we're not interested in that, you know?
Yeah, except that.
But that being said, it is funny that Giselle says, like, we could have used this while she's simultaneously, like, blatantly just sits there in her confessional saying, like,
yeah, she is.
This is the word on the street.
Yes. So she's like, well, we knew about Gigi. We've known about this forever. It's been like 2 years. And Monique's like, it's not my business. It's called lies. And Candace is like, if it was lies, you wouldn't be running from it, which doesn't even make any sense.
Well, Candace is
makes no sense. So Giselle's like, well, we've known about it for a year and no one mentioned your child. And you know, of course, it's like a squabble. Monique's like, no one wants to hear the BS coming out of your mouth. And Candace, with another real good zinger, goes, no one wants to hear BS coming out of your mouth.
Got her bad.
So then Andy's like, well, you keep talking about this plot, but it did not air on The Real Housewives of Potomac. And she said, yes. Well, Giselle went to her confessionals and said, word on the street is Monique is running around with her trainer and chases the trainer's baby. But they cut that part out. And Giselle's like, what? Oh, that's not true at all. It's a total lie. But also, Andy, you just showed a clip of Giselle saying that she was cheating with the trainer.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things going on here because Monique also, she is a little bit of a conspiracy theorist. So sometimes when she says they cut that part out, it's hard to know, like, did that really happen? Or is Monique just being, you know, a conspiracy theorist here? So it's kind of like hard to gauge that for me and not important enough for me to also like to investigate that part. But like, but then again, I also totally would believe that Giselle would be messy enough to say to fully say that. So yeah. I don't know.
So Monique's like, don't act confused.
And well, I would say I would say that they would, I think that if she said it, I think they would have aired it right then and there. I think they would have said like unaired footage, but then, but maybe not, because that would make them look really shady.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah, you never know. But still, Giselle came on and said she was cheating with the trainer and all this other stuff. So, and Candace already said that there was, she was there when they were plotting to say that the baby wasn't hers. So, whether she actually went the whole way, Monique knows that that's where she was going, right? From Candace, mm-hmm. who's on Team Giselle.
But if Monique knows that all these women are like conspiring to bring this rumor to the fore. She knows it enough that she's pissed at Candace for bringing Sasha around, right? She knows that much enough. So then why is she like all of a sudden so buddy-buddy with Giselle at the beginning of the season?
I don't know. I guess trying
I don't even know what point I'm making, but it's just a thing to think about. Like that there's
because they had just made up. So I think she was like, well, if I keep things okay with Giselle, then Giselle won't come out with this crap, and she'll keep Charisse away or whatever.
It just felt like she was angrier she's angrier at Candace
because Giselle got her thinking that Candace was trying to bring it on camera via Charisse. You see, Giselle's over there pulling all the strings of this shit, and now she's like, "What? I never said anything. I never brought this up." As typical, it's like season Giselle 5. Of course, it's Giselle. You know,
I love when someone is a puppet master. Yeah, that makes me like her more.
I'm not even really hateful of Giselle for this because, like I've said many times this season, I'm way more entertained by Giselle than usual. I don't know why. Maybe I'm just used to it. But she is so full of shit. So Andy goes, no, but what I'm saying is we didn't bring it up on the show. That's all I'm trying to say. It's like, what are you getting mad about? Yes, you fucking did. And this is, sit down, okay? You're not a housewife. So then he's like, okay, let's put a pin in it.
And then Andy has to do the thing that we do before we truly weigh in on the fight. Andy goes, I want to begin by saying that Bravo doesn't condone violence.
We just showcase it.
We just create a scenario where it can breathe. So, but we thought it was important to show the footage because we need ratings. So, okay, can we go back to the beginning to see how we got to here?
And Wendy's like, can I have some water? I need some water for this. This is going to be intense. So we take a break. And when we come back, here we go. It's this clip package of drag me, Monique, drag me. The Giselle and Charisse thing.
Yeah.
Giselle saying that Charisse and Monique fell out. And it coincided with these rumors that came out about her side piece or her lover or her fuck buddy or whatever you want to call him. And then Robin saying Monique doesn't want people gossiping about relationships because she doesn't want everybody gossiping about her relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And then we come back, we see the fight. Well, we see the beginning of it with Candace saying, or Monique saying, get your hand out of my face. And you're going to drag me? Drag me, Monique. And then we see her grab the hair and then the wine glass. And then Monique, we come back and Monique's like, oh yeah, and I thought that was Candace that pushed me, but it was Giselle pushing her back. Right.
So Andy says, Monique, you took a pic with Charisse months before the anniversary party, so you can see how Candace thought it'd be okay for you two to be in the same room, right? And Monique is like, yeah, but I didn't say anything to her the entire time when I was at that party. And then Candace is like, yeah, but then you ran away from her like she was the plague at my party, so what was up with that, you know?
Yeah, so Andy's like, well, does everybody believe that Candace did not have bad intentions? And, of course, Robin and Giselle are like, yeah, we believe it. And Karen's like, well, it's questionable because I've heard the backstory. And Monique's like, we had just talked about all this stuff. And Candace is like, she's my friend and I invited my friend. And that's it. The end of it. And Monique's like, well, then why don't you just say, hey, friend, Charisse is going to be there. Give me a heads up.
Right. That's the seed of all of this is that she didn't get a heads up. And so Robin's like, you're giving Charisse way too much credit and mental energy. Like, why do you have to prepare for Charisse? Which is actually not a terrible point. Like, why does anyone have to prepare for Charisse?
Because she was built up in her mind by Giselle.
Sathas, yeah. I hope you're prepared.
Sathas. Is that a pun? And I love that Andy never even bothered bringing on Charisse for any of this, too. Because they could have easily just said, and here's Charisse. And Andy's like, nope, not thirsty-ass Charisse with her hoverboard. We're not doing it, okay?
Yeah, literally no Charisse. I'm surprised. They didn't bring Charisse into any of the season. I guess maybe that's part of it.
They kept bringing her in, but not really letting her speak.
Sasha really, you know, she really made an impact. She's the Tamara of Potomac.
Yeah. So then we go through the Monique overreacting about the s'mores thing.
I'm glad that was addressed. I was a little worried it was not going to be addressed. But she's like, you know, I just overreacted because it was a buildup of emotions, you know, from everything. And Candace is like, well, that wasn't the only instance where you acted like a crazy person. And Andy's like, well, she's saying that she overreacted. She said it. She said she overreacted. And then Candace is like, well, you used every instance to try to bait me into a fight because you were fucking bored and you needed something to fight about. This woman has come after me, has tried to bully me, has tried to make moments happen with me. And I'm like, and you're the dumb one who fell for it then.
Yes. And I will say, I'm with her. Like, on the first part of this season when Monique started to turn on Candace, I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah. I'm like, well, I thought Monique was crazy
for Candace to get to do something. Don't just start coming at her now. Like, I get that you're mad, but give her a chance to do something shitty, you know, because you look bad. I thought Monique
the fire pit thing was ridiculous. But I just think it's always funny when Candace talks about how she gets bullied when, like, she is a nightmare on social media. I think bully gets thrown around a lot in general, so I don't feel like she's necessarily a bully, but by her definition of what she seems to be calling bullying, she is, like, actually the prime perpetrator of that behavior online.
Yes. So Andy's like, someone wants to know if you saw the hand that pushed your shoulder, Monique, because there was speculation that it was Giselle. And Giselle's like, I wasn't pushing her, I was stopping her. And in the clip you see, when it's getting heated up, it looks like she's being pushed back, but it was Giselle.
Yeah, Giselle's just back. Like sort of like moving her back. Right. So
Andy's like, well, you said you blacked out. So what was your emotional reaction when you saw the footage, since you didn't remember anything?
So you would think at this point Monique has had a few months to prepare. And you'd think she'd be like, well, when I saw this, I was horrified. I was embarrassed. I was angry at myself for losing my cool. I was, you know, like, I was sad that I had this in me. Like, all these, like, really introspective thoughts, you would think. And she's like, well, I was just trying to figure out what made me act this way. Like, she must have done something to make me snap.
Yes.
I was like, maybe not the answer I would have given up. That's maybe not what I would lead to that. Maybe take it to that place. But maybe you want to start with some, like, introspection and thoughtfulness and some sort of, like, remorse. Even if you're not truly feeling it, just like, just for the pure optics of it.
Just fake it. Yeah, I'm with you. So Andy's like, well, was it your impression that she physically attacked you? And Monique said, well, what really set me off was when she did this with her hand. Like, she waved her hand. She kept waving her hand under my face. Mm-hmm. And the whole side of the couch is like, that never happened. That never happened. That literally never happened. And Andy goes, yeah, it didn't happen. And Giselle's like, it didn't happen, but okay. And then we get a clip of the shady editors putting it in three times. You know,
not only did that happen, I don't know when you're ready to fire up your video footage, because I know you're very excited to do a frame by frame.
God, of course, we're like over an hour into this recap. This is really
I don't want to jump it, but this morning I woke up and watched someone doing a frame by frame. And something that I never saw on any of these is that actually, at that moment, like, when Candace did the hand thing, and Giselle pushed, or put her hand on Monique, Candace actually grabs Monique's shirt at that point.
Okay,
and I did not notice that. So that was almost like,
okay, here, I'll put it on. So those of you who are watching at home, you can see this. And for those of you, I know most of you are listening, so we don't want to leave you out. So we'll tell you what we're seeing as we watch this. We're just going to go really slow, frame by frame here. So yeah. Here they are. They're starting the fight. So Monique reaches over and she starts flicking Candace's hair, right?
Which is arguably the first offense, the first major offense. That is technically the first hand on, if we're going to say hair is part of someone's being, which yes. I believe it is.
Agreed. It grows out of our heads. And it's important. This is so silly to take this seriously, but it is important to say, Bravo does not condone violence.
Bravo does not
condone
violence.
It is important to say, yes, this is the first physical thing, is the flicking of the hair. And so anything I say after this, I'm saying, yes, that is the first physical thing.
That was
so
the first
Monique
one.
Still is the one to apologize the most, okay?
Yes.
She is the most at fault. Now, that said, here we go. Okay, so she flicks that hair, and she keeps it, and Candace keeps, you know, yapping.
So now we see Giselle's hand on Monique's shoulder, and then another hand, well, then we see Wendy's hand come forward. But what's easy to overlook is that actually there's another hand. So we see Wendy sort of reach in to sort of like stop it, but then Candace's hand gets right here on like the scarf on the chest, like the scarf or the shirt of Monique.
Right. So she is the first one to like hand on the person. Okay.
Hand on the body.
Right.
And not only that, she pulls. You can actually see her pulling on the scarf. The scarf lifts from the shirt.
Yes, so we see
that pulling. And meanwhile, we are getting a lot of Giselle's fingers. We're getting a lot.
And you also see that fingers hand go, it grabs the vest and then it goes over the shoulder, right? You see that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say it's a little bit more of I would say that Monique's initial hair flip thing is, it's physical. It still counts as physical contact, but it's more of a taunting. And this is more of a pulling.
It looks like she's grabbing her jacket, but her hand's going up. So who knows if she was going to go to flick her hair back, you know?
Yeah.
So then we see another flick, right? This one's bigger because now Candace has brought her hand up.
Big
to
flick.
We see Wendy coming in.
Wendy's arm is in there to stop it up.
Karen's coming in now to stop it. So
Candace, this is from Rihanna. Break up this fight.
Candace has grabbed Monique, and Monique is now going to grab Candace.
So okay. now she's
so
got
now
the
she
hair.
grabs her hair with her right hand. Okay.
Yes.
The so hair then is being Giselle grabbed. Is trying to pull them apart, and of course we have to look at this reaction shot of Candace on the bottom instead of seeing the whole shot. Guys, come on! Don't you
it's
know
okay.
that there are obsessed so now, gays going through this?
So now Monique has Candace's hair. Yep, and
yes,
she's pulling
Monique
it,
has
and,
her hair.
And Wendy's sort of tangled up in there, trying to block it up.
Giselle comes behind Candace and pulls Candace back, right? So Candace has to let go of Monique.
Right. And Candace's pilgrim hat is starting to fall off.
Yes, because her hair is being pulled. So Monique is pulling her hair. Then Candace
Then Monique... Wait. Go. Well, so what happens is Monique then takes her other hand and goes to the top of the head.
Right.
Top of Candace's head. So she got one hand on the long hair, one hand on top of the head. And then Candace takes her glass and throws wine right in Monique's face. We see the splash. We see it sort of also get Robin a little bit because Robin's like, oh!
Okay, now look here. This is the glass again. Candace starts swinging the glass at her. See this? See the glass?
That she is the glass.
So now she gets the wine in her face, and now she's swinging the glass at her face.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people are saying, well, but her hair was being pulled, so of course she's just swinging randomly around.
Fair.
She wasn't swinging the glass. Her hair was being pulled. No, she's swinging the glass at her face. Sorry.
That's
true. She is.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could still pull it. I still think self-defense is fair, but
when
I think
someone
that
has
right
your
now...
hair. Right.
Right, and now there's, like, swatting, and
now,
now
we
now
see
the glass
she's
is,
swinging that glass at her face.
She's swinging that glass.
Again
it's very
again.
Scary. I think that for me, the takeaway here is more like there's sort of like a 52-48 split in terms of the violence, right? And I think that like we've been like very much like Monique was grabbing that hair really aggressively, which she was, and she does.
She is still
and,
doing it.
And Candace is acting out of self-defense, but then Monique in the reunion is also like, I was holding onto that hair because she was swinging that glass, and I needed to like basically like lock her down.
Right, and she said, the reason I started watching it so closely is because she said, you know, it happened at the same time. I grabbed her hair and she swung the glass at the same time. And they're like, no, that never happened. None of that ever happened. But it did. It literally just happened right here. I'll watch what crappens. Yeah. She grabs the hair. The wine goes on the face. Like, in the same second. So, you know, it was less cut and dry than it was to me before, because I didn't see the part before of Candace going for Monique and grabbing
her. Me neither.
And I think that's being left out of everything.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that Monique is off the hook. Because what she still did was violent, and it was bad.
Right.
But I think that, like, a lot of, like, what we've been saying and what a lot of people have been saying has been, like, it has been sort of a narrative of, like, you know, Candace was being like, drag me, whatever she was saying. Monique did the hair flick and then went and grabbed that hair and, like, pulled her down. And then Candace was just, like, flailing, which is true. That all happened. But I think what has been left out is that, like, the story has been that Candace just sort of was, like, standing there one moment and was dragged down. But Candace actually did put her hand on Monique as well. And that there was, like... It doesn't justify anything, but it also shows that the situation's, I think, a lot more complex than maybe our discussion of it has been.
Yeah, and for me, it's just that they're lying. They're all lying right now. It's not that it doesn't make Monique right. Monique is still in the wrong, okay? None of this changes any of that. But the reason I got so into it was because Andy and the ladies are just fucking lying, and it's bullshit. It's not fair. So she goes, let me see. So, okay, first is she was doing this with her hand in my face, and they say it didn't happen. They're all yelling it didn't happen, and Andy's agreeing it didn't happen. And then the editor plays it three times. So then Monique goes, okay, you guys, you asked me what set me off, and that's what happened. That's what set me off. Right. So Andy says, you posted on social media that the wine glass hit you before this happened. And she did post on that, and that was a lie. That did not happen before. That didn't initiate that. That happened after. The wine glass came after she was flicking her hair and grabbing her hair and stuff. Mm-hmm. So Monique is like, well, it happened at the same time. It was simultaneous. So we just saw it. So it was simultaneous, but Monique was making it sound like Candace threw a glass of wine in her face, and then Monique came in, which isn't really the truth, right?
I mean, the thing is, when you're in a fight like that, everything happens so quickly that you just can't remember things as what you think things happen a certain way, and they don't, which is why witness testimony can be dubious, right? Yeah.
So then the wine glass hit me, and that's why I bled. And I saw that she had wine glasses in her hand, swinging them all over the place. So I wouldn't let her go until I knew I wouldn't be hurt. Well, and then when Wendy and Giselle are yelling, that didn't happen. That never happened. It did happen. We just saw it happen. Okay. Right. So then Candace, clip of it happening. Candace swinging broken glass at Candace over and over. Then Giselle saying she couldn't swing anything because her head was on the table. Yet we just saw it, you guys.
She was swinging.
Yeah. So then Monique is like, well, if you want to pretend you didn't see it, that's fine. Do you want to see my dentist paperwork? And Andy goes, no, definitely not. But I will say there's no footage of her throwing a wine glass at you. Absolutely none.
She's still swinging a broken glass. There is footage of her throwing the glass.
She's swinging it, and then she throws it at her. I mean, it's in the footage that they just showed. Then the footage, what is this? Oh, so Monique's like, well, you know, I saw the footage, and so did the state of Maryland, and they said that this was not an attack.
Right, because it was consensual violence. Then Andy says, but you went back to get her again. Which is sort of interesting because she did. Like, Monique did go back to go after her a second time. But then again, going to find Candace that second time does not mean that she's necessarily going to go, like, beat her up. I mean, I don't know. It's not
she was
say,
saying,
nothing
I'm going
to
go finish her off.
I mean, she was saying she's going to finish her off. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, Monique is still in the wrong on everything else. My issue is just that these guys are all lying about what happened on camera. We saw it. Monique is still wrong.
But they're saying
the wine never happened and the hand thing never happened. All this stuff never happened when we just saw it.
My issue has always been more just that, like, I think Candace escalating this to the legal system, I felt like in this case, I just felt like this was not something that needed to be escalated to the legal system. And I think it was, like, a waste of a lot of people's time and money, basically because I think she was humiliated. Rightfully so. She was humiliated. I'm not going to take that away from her. But she, you know, She just, I feel like she did very much be like, like woe is me. She was attacked. I'm not saying she wasn't attacked. She was definitely attacked, but she also was, she participated on a certain level as well. And then she was like, oh, and then she perpetuated this on social media, the things she said on social media. And it's like, but Candace, you like, Candace is vile on social media too. So it was like that aspect. That's where I get mad.
Right.
Which is that, so like, it was a terrible fight and it should never be, and it should never have happened. We don't condone the violence of it at all. Monique did charge again a second time, etc. The punishment is that Monique was basically cut out of the second half of the season, you know, and that she was shunned from the group. And I'm sure that there were some penalties pay-wise. And that is the consequence. To me, for that size thing, that was the consequence.
Yeah. So and basically, Andy's like, why would you apologize to the ladies, but you wouldn't apologize to Candace? And she's like, yeah. Well, I was apologizing to them for being put in harm's way. But, you know, I felt like Candace was wrong. And Giselle and Candace are laughing. And Andy's like, but she got hurt. She goes, but I did as well. Would you like to see my dentist papers? They're like, no, Monique, Jesus. So then,
by the way, when Andy was like, you went out to go at her again, then we see unaired footage of basically Candace saying like, you're fired because you're a ghetto ass hood ass bitch. And so Candace is yelling all that stuff. And Monique is like, well, if I'm fired, I might as well finish her off.
Yes. Yeah, which so, is not no, that really was an end scene. We saw that in the original episode. Candace was yelling ghetto hood ass. And
I thought they said unaired on under it.
Oh, she's like, I don't know. You're fired.
Doesn't justify it, but just.
And Monique's like, more. Open this door. And that poor producer's like, no, Monique. We saw that part. No, yeah. Monique. No. She's like, if I'm fired, I'm just going to finish her off. So Andy's like, well, Candace, let's get to you now. We've got some pre-folded square napkins for you to go on about, okay? And she's like, yeah. I couldn't even watch this until February. Really? Because you just filed a court case. Like, I would think that you would have gone over the footage, Candace. But then Candace really just starts sobbing and doing the Candace cry. She really brings it on. She lays She's it like on full really full Candace. Thin.
Full yeah. Candace, right? So she's like, Monique's like, well, can I say something while she gets herself together? And he's like, no, I want her to answer first. She's like, okay, sure. So Candace is like, I couldn't watch it. I didn't watch it for however many months because I didn't want to see myself that way. I didn't want to see me fighting with someone who I thought was my friend. It made me angry. It made me sad. It embarrassed me. I'm still fucked up. It's not okay. And what was strange to me, I think it's totally legitimate to have, you know, PTSD after a fight. Like, you know, if you do have trauma, like, you know, I think my eyes have been opened up a little bit about the fact that, like, it's not up for me. As Robin even says, it's not up for me to say, like, what her trauma was or wasn't. But, like, I thought her reaction seemed to be really about, I didn't see myself. I didn't watch it because I didn't see myself that way. I never, like, I was embarrassed, whatever. It felt like, given that she's always saying things like, you're a hood, whatever, da, 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 da. She sees herself in a certain sort of way. And I think that, like, in that moment, she felt like she was part of something that went against her self-image. And that really rattled her. And I think she was so embarrassed that that's why she escalated. Well, she also has her crazy mom. Like, and I think that she just, like, I think it's like she has stuff that she has to deal with in terms of, like, you know, her self-image. And rather than dealing with that, she just is like, I think she was trying to, by filing that lawsuit, she was trying to create some distance between, like, who she sees herself as versus what happened that night at the winery, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't like she was, I felt like it was, but yeah, that was my impression when she was saying that. Like, she just, it seemed to be very much about like, I didn't want to see myself that way. I thought it was a curious thing. I mean, and she has a, I mean, like, listen, people, you're allowed to feel embarrassed about your behavior. I mean, gosh, I mean, look at, I mean, every time
well,
I look
at. Well, she wasn't saying that she was embarrassed about her behavior. I think she's just saying she was in a, you know, she was in a fight and didn't want to see that, but she takes zero responsibility for anything. She says she knows that I didn't initiate the physicality of this fight, which is true. Monique started the hair flick, as we've said. And then she went on social media and said, you know, allowed this to perpetuate that I started it with the wine thing. And she's like, and I don't understand how someone could just lie like that. I can't get over the mental fuckery. Well, you just saw it on your own team with everybody on your own team flat out lying to the cameras.
Yeah, that's true.
So there, maybe that'll help you understand a little bit better. And Monique is, of course, not helping herself over there on her end. She's like, I can't. You know, while Monique is, Monique is not crying.
Great.
Or while Candace is crying. And Candace is like, well, she has millions of strangers attacking me and calling me a rat and saying I deserve it because my mouth is so foul. But they're also saying that because they've seen your mouth being so foul.
Yeah.
Lady.
Like you've been so vile to people online on social media. You called Ashley a roach while she was giving birth, you know, like, and now she's acting now. Oh, now people are attacking me. Strangers are attacking me. I mean,
yeah, it's fucking Candace. So,
you told a guy you hoped he would die, and then he died.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. But Robin's saying that they were attacking her because they were under the impression that Monique created a narrative that Candace started it. I'm like, I think that people probably attacked her because, based on Candace's previous behavior, people were finally like, aha, now we can go after her, you know?
Yeah.
Not saying it's justified or not, but I think that's probably has more to do with than anything that Monique did.
Well, someone said, Candace really has to stop crying. This is Twitter I'm reading. Candace really has to stop crying. You got to take your shit and be ready to square up about your shit. And she replies, ... telling me my version of emotional expression is a problem is the real issue, ... especially when you all sit in your homes in bathrobes gagging at other people's fighting, which is the real toxic form of emotional expression. Just my two cents. Shut the fuck up, Candace, okay? So now it's everybody else's problem for watching your show. Now we're all a bunch of assholes because we watch your show. It's not your fault. It's our fault for watching it.
And Monica's like, I don't understand how she's making all these narratives for herself. And it sucks because she's making it worse for herself, right? Like, she's just, you know, like, she's like, I'm not sitting at home, you know, wanting her life to be ruined, you know? And then Andy's just like, well, you know, you seem pretty cut and dry. I think it's odd that you're not more emotional. You're not more emotional. Cry more. Be more like a woman.
It was like that, right? That's how I took it too. I was like, did you ask any dude to do that ever? Like, what the hell? Like, she has to cry and be like your version of a woman. It happened a long time ago. She's been through court cases about it. She's written a song about it, for Christ's sake. Like,
yeah. I mean, I think for sure Monique should have shown more remorse and, again, introspection about this whole thing. But it was weird that he was like, you're not very emotional. But then again, she did, like, she showed more emotion about T'Challa than she did about this situation, which
is kind
of funny.
Well, she loves T'Challa. So she's like, well, I'm not built like that. And what happened in that moment caused me to react that way. Like, what do you want me to cry about? And Candace is like, I have to get up. I need a break.
Yeah, Candace is just being like, just like, she's like, I need to go. I can't. So she like walks off, and Monique is like, I mean, I'm trying to explain how I was in that moment. Like, this is where I was in this moment. Like, and of course I'm upset. Like, absolutely I'm upset. And he's like, well, you didn't say that. And she's like, well, I'm trying to explain how I process. And then Candace is just like, walking off into the.
Jeez.
Evening.
My God. So one more time.
I mean, it's a mess.
This has been a long ass episode, we know. But just one more time. No one is saying that Monique is not to blame. My only thing is the cast sits up there and lies when we have the footage. Andy sits up there and lies when we have the footage. It doesn't make any sense to me. It makes me crazy to see it. It's hypocrisy. Because Candace was not really the most guilty one, as we've said, but she was not so innocent either. And I'm really sick of watching Candace walk around sobbing all this time. Like, could you imagine if classic Marge was still like, oh my God, I was so traumatized when Danielle pulled my ponytail. I had to go to the show.
She was like, I had whiplash.
Yeah, they're acting like this is the first time this has ever happened on Bravo or TV or anything else. And it's just getting to the point where it's like, enough, okay? Monique was wrong. She got sued. Like, enough at this point.
I agree. And I think actually, I know, like, you're saying, like, they're up there, they're lying. I actually kind of have a take of that, like, as we see the footage, there's so much happening in this footage that even we now, months later, are watching it and finding new things and having new perspectives on it. That I think it's like fair if they actually believe what they're saying. Like they're but not the like wine, I don't think they're actually lying.
The hand under the face. Okay, maybe they forgot. But wine slamming into her face, they don't remember that. And then one of them said, "Well, that couldn't have been her wine because it was red wine, but it wasn't red wine." I mean,
but what I'm saying is that like there's a lot of confusion around it, and that I think the takeaway is that like there's a lot of gray area, and it Candace has been like. It's been a very black and white thing on her end of like, I was just, you know, I was savagely attacked. And you know, then I was traumatized and I had to have post-its up and people attacked me all online and I've lost everything. And now I've got to like take this to the courts and maybe put her away in jail when it's like, actually it was a very gray area. And that's why it was thrown out because it was like, it was basically a fight. Like Monique ignited it, like she did the first touching and everything. But it was a fight. It was just a classic fight, and it was unfortunate that it had to happen. And it's unfortunate that there's probably that if Candace is suffering PTSD from it, it's unfortunate that she's suffering PTSD from it. But it's a fight, and she's making it seem like she was like walking down the street and like you know she was just like tackled to the ground.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode.
Guys, I'm sure people will have some opinions. I think there'll be some opinions. I don't know. Like maybe.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that. I'm sure it'll all be like, I'm sure people will be totally, you know, just have a few light thoughts on these things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because I know how light and fluffy it was for me. I sit up all night scouring Twitter and the internet for clips and stuff like that. So I don't know. This stuff, I don't know why it affects you, but you know what? Welcome to Bravo.
Okay. Ain't that you know what? That's the fun of it. And you know what? People are going to be going back and forth. And just like, remember at the end of the day, like this is Bravo. And these are like, this is a housewives show. And like part of the fun of watching these shows is that we have our favorites, and sometimes with our favorites, we have biases, and like, that's okay. That's what part of being a fan is. So yeah, like, as people discuss with each other, like,
you know, get mad at this stuff and don't get pissed off in real life.
Yeah, yeah. Like, just remember, like, as you discuss this stuff, like, also, like, don't lose your mind over it.
I say, like, I'm literally ending red in the face after screaming for an hour and a half. But
well, it's okay to have, like, an impassioned discussion and to, like, talk it out and to be like, actually, here's why I think your logic doesn't really pan out. This is what I think. But, like, also remember that we're all, like, just fans of these shows and we all are, like, we have fun dissecting this stuff. It's fun to like take a stance and to like whatever. And I just hope that as people discuss this and continue to discuss this even beyond our podcast, whatever, that like people just be like respectful to each other about it, because like it does not need to turn into like classic internet madness.
Yeah. Well, everybody,
we don't need to do that.
Thanks so much for being here. We will be covering the third and final act of this reunion in the new year. So don't worry, it'll be late as hell, but we will be here to recap it. Thank you so much for being here with us. We sure love you guys. Talk to you next time.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie.
Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
He makes us squee. Richie D.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kiss. It's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will. Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthew Sisters.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell. Miss Noel,
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.